Hi, this is Jack Canfield from The Secret, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, I want to welcome you to the show. I'm still in Belize, and as I look out across the view in front of me, I'm sitting in what we call on the island the Starfish Bar, which is kind of located just out in the water. As I walked over the bridge to get to the bar, there must have been millions of these small fish, you know, as they congregate in the shallow water. And I can see many, many fish in these, you know, in the shallow water around the bar. And as I look out across to the west here, there's the beautiful mountains of Belize. They're actually much higher than you would probably think about with Belize. And there's a big catamaran that's just sailing off in the distance. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day here. It's a slight breeze. It's very, very warm. And remember, we're still in the hurricane season. Oh, I'm sorry, the end of the rainy season. And the real main season starts in a couple of weeks. But I was just sort of checking in with how I was feeling. And, you know, this is the last day of my second event here. And I can't tell you how full of apprehension I was 2 weeks ago when I first came to the island. Because it's easy to have a dream and say, hey, I'm going to make this happen. And we're going to create transformational work in Central America on this little island 9 miles from shore. But it's quite different when I arrived on the island as a owner, as opposed to when I first came as a dreamer. I didn't notice any of the imperfections and all of the work. I just looked at the possibility. And when I came back, of course, for the first few days, I was consumed by, oh my goodness, there's so much to get done and so many projects, so many jobs. And you know, we have a staff of 30 here, and they're amazing. But of course, you know, running an island is a little like running a city. But as I sort of reflect over the last 2 weeks and the transformations, I mean, one transformation I'll talk about has been remarkable. I won't use names because I know that that they do listen to the show, and I haven't got their permission to share this as far as using a name is concerned. I'm sure they'd give it to me. So I don't feel strange about sharing the story. But watching this one person, I won't even say the gender, one person come into the event and so incredibly afraid. Now remember, the event I'm running here is called Good to Great. It's an advanced trainer program. And this person was invited as a guest of one of the invitees. So this really isn't the domain that they're used to. It's not something that they, no muscles built around being on the stage. And I suppose I would liken it to when we first met on the first day, where, I mean, in absolute shock, you know, and just not, no body movement, absolutely not even chatting off stage in the beginning. It was just really, really apparent that this person was completely uncomfortable in their skin as far as this arena is concerned. And watching last night as this person took the stage and took command of the room and was funny and just, you know, sparkled and full of life and was able to deliver messages that were clear and concise, and to watch that transformation in just a few days. And I really think about that with your life as you're listening in. And really, one of the things I'm about to launch is the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club, where we travel the world together. And again, I think it's going to be for people who are graduates of at least one of my programs. But I'm open to see how that can mature. Because I realized that what this person did over these few days was really start off where even being in the room was completely outside their comfort zone. And when we understand, I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but you can't hear this enough. There's a part of the brain called the psycho-cybernetic mechanism, which releases chemicals every single time we're outside of our comfort zone. So for this person, being here, actually, at the, that's without doing anything. That's without, you know, even sitting in the seat, was so far outside the comfort zone that her, that the the person's body is being flooded with these this sort of the, this chemical attack from the body. And what happens when that occurs is, you know, the feelings of fear, apprehension, doubt, and uncertainty raise up. And I've told you this before, but I want you to get this. And then what happens is, as you immerse, that's why I like immersion programs. That's why I like 5 and 6 and 7 day programs that I write. Because as you immerse yourself in the discomfort, what happens is this miracle thing occurs, is that over a few days, over many hours, suddenly the uncomfortable becomes comfortable. And that's what was occurring, was as I witnessed this one. Now remember, I've seen everyone's transformed in to a degree in different ways, and obviously their skills have increased. But what happens is, when you start getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, then there's a whole new frontier of the uncomfortable zone. In other words, there's a new, your comfort zone expands. Now, when you leave an event like this, it will shrink back a little bit, but it will never go back all the way. And so that's why I love immersion programs. But even if you're not at a program, my question to you, and what I really focus on a lot with my programs, is gradually leading people out of their fears. Now, remember, I don't know if you've heard my mission statement or read it on my website, is to reach, teach, and inspire people to break through their fears, embrace change, and live in their higher selves, right? And so when you can gradually lead people out of the comfort zones they're in, and it's like a self-imposed prison. That's how I think about it. I mean, for me, a comfort zone is a little bit like a grave with the ends kicked out, like a rut. You get stuck in a rut, right? But, you know, a lot of you have your favorite chair at home where you sit and watch TV, and you sit at the same spot every day when you're eating your breakfast. But again, in watching a miracle occur with this person and the other people here, you know, it really sort of, I want to call to you and say, where in life are you, where do you have discomfort? Where are you uncomfortable? Is it in public settings? Is it the stage? Is it you know, going down strange streets in your city? Is it when you're around different cultures? Because we all have a plethora of places where we feel uncomfortable because it's new. And I believe that the kick-ass life practitioner is somebody that is constantly stepping over the threshold of their comfort zone into the uncomfortable zone. And I love the advanced practitioner of a kick-ass life. They move from the uncomfortable zone. So imagine three circles. The center one is your comfort zone. That's your self-imposed prison. And most people can live their whole life in a comfort zone, not even knowing it. But everything they do, you know, is within the zone of comfort, where they're not in any form of distress. They don't feel any apprehension, fear, doubt, or uncertainty, right? So that's where they stick. And most of us, when we try new things, we're gonna have that feeling because it's uncomfortable. So if you're learning a new sport, in the beginning, there's apprehension, there's doubt, there's some fear, there's uncertainty, right? And that's very, very apparent, but typically we'll practice and we'll go on let's say we're learning how to skate. Now, I didn't learn to skate till I was 36, and I played on two hockey teams in a small town called Caslow, British Columbia. And there was like miners and loggers, and it was like a tough league. And I'd never been on skates my whole life, you know, and I'd go out there, man. And I mean, even by the sort of toward the end of the first season, I'd boot it along the ice, and I still couldn't stop, you know, because I'd never, ever learned to skate. And I'd just slam into the walls at the end, pick myself up and skate back. But by the end of the second season, man, I'm sliding around the ice. You know, I'm actually contributing to the team. In fact, I scored a goal in the last game of the season to win the trophy. Unbelievably. But the truth was, you know, my comfort level, my new comfort level, was so different from when I started. However, even by the end of my second year of playing, skating backwards was still uncomfortable for me. I mean, I could do it, but it was always kind of like I hadn't mastered it yet. I hadn't put enough time on the ice. So, you know, so as we look at these three circles, you've got your comfort zone. I like to say living your life as a kick-ass life practitioner is in the uncomfortable zone. If you really want to take it to another level, then you've got to get into the unknown, which is the third ring. Living in the unknown, where, and I tell you, I mean, you've heard this 100 times from me already, where I practice in everything I do, not just some things. So when I go to a restaurant, I never ever order what I know. I ask the waiter to bring me, or waitress to bring me, something that they like. Don't tell me what it is. Just understand I don't eat black olives or blue cheese. Those are the only two things I don't eat. So then that is now my new comfort zone, is absolutely eating everything that comes my way. And I always, I mean, typically I have the best meal at the table anyway, all right? But that's an example of the unknown living, right? Of setting out in the morning on a journey and not having any idea where you're going, where you're going to spend the night. That would be the unknown zone. And I did that for many years. So, I mean, that muscle is pretty big in me. But it does lend itself to such a rich storyboard. And I often think about that, you know, my last breath of air, how it's going to be, you know, and what stories are going to pass through my mind. So I'm collecting this plethora of stories every day in all situations where I want my life to be this magnificent story, and that I could pick on any adventure in those last moments of my life and go with satisfaction, wow, whew, what a rush, you know, what a rush. So again, I mean, my urge to you, having to witness this transformation. And I mean, you can call it what you want. I mean, some people, I'm sure, would be, it's almost a miracle to witness somebody transform in just a few days from completely petrified, terrified, you know, unable to speak, unable to even open the body up. So sort of arms wrapped around each other, because it's so far outside the comfort zone. The gradient was so steep. To a few days later being absolutely at home and funny and moving and powerful. Why? Because of the immersion and the gentleness in while being outside the comfort zone. There's a sort of a gentleness of gradient. And okay, so for each of you right now, I this is my challenge, I suppose, is what is it that you want? Or how do you notice yourself in your comfort zone? You look around your life. Where is it? And you could look at it in all different different areas. So your comfort zone in your relationship, for example, could be very, very different from your comfort zone at work, or your comfort zone, you know, in your adventures, or your comfort zone when traveling. In other words, the comfort zone, typically there's a relationship between all of them, but they can be quite distinctly different depending on the hours you put in. So you may be this crazy, because you grew up playing ice hockey, you may be this crazy ice hockey player who can, you know, play at 100 miles an hour, backwards, sideways, flips, you know, whatever. And you may have tremendous comfort and it would appear that you're fearless. Yet, you know, I take you out of that ice and I put you in a small village in Africa and you're terrified. You know, so your comfort zone in the sport of hockey is immense. Your comfort zone in sitting in a culture where you don't understand, you know, you could be terrified. Big, tough guy, absolutely terrified because of the unknown, okay? And so this is the challenge, again, of the kick-ass life practitioner, is that as we step out of the things we know in all areas, you know, how do we know when we're out there? Because we're going to start having that overwhelming feeling of apprehension, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, right? And that's where I love this dance with those things, because as soon as I start feeling it, as soon as I start feeling this fear, any fear or the uncertainty, doubt, apprehension, I know I'm in my growth zone. And that's the way to think about it. And remember, I've said this many times too, right? Your wealth can only grow to the extent you're willing to grow yourself. So again, if you want to have more money and you want to grow yourself, grow your capacity as a human being, your wealth automatically will grow with you. As you expand, you will attract to you who you're being, who you are in the moment, right? So again, so as I'm sitting here on this island, sort of in the, you know, I mean, again, we're our last day starting in about an hour from now, as I look out across this life, and that's what I'm kind of almost feeling, this life, you know, and even why I started the show. And I know this last few weeks has been a little harder on maybe even the listener, because I haven't been at home. You know, I've been on the road for a long time and working very, very hard. So I haven't had the ability to give the attention that I would prefer. I've had to sort of find minutes where I can sort of sit down and just get the mic and chat, because of my commitment to be here every week and be here three times a week and not let you down, right? And so I you know, I will apologize a little bit, because even for me, it's felt a little fragmented. It hasn't felt like my feet are deep in the soil, because my feet are so deep in the soil where I'm at. But I will say, you know, if we relate back to the opening conversation, is what if you begin to live your life every day outside of that comfort zone and you challenge it. So let's say that favorite place you sit in the house, you don't sit there anymore. Start small, right? That everything you do that's routine, you go to this same coffee shop every day, go somewhere else. Driving to work a certain way, you know, drive somewhere else, right? That you start building that muscle slowly so that, and you catch yourself every single time things get comfortable, you simply step out of it and do what's uncomfortable, right? Let's say, for example, you don't like, you think you don't like a certain type of food. Go to the restaurant and try different things. You know, allow yourself to experience life as if, you know, there was no, your mind was not controlling the ship. In other words, because that's what happens, right? That's how comfort zones are built. Your mind's job is to keep you safe, is to keep you alive. It has no interest in your happiness. It doesn't care whether you're happy or not. And that's why so many people are not happy. We all have this, the most amazing computer in our head. You know, I mean, the capacity of the brain is so vast, so vast. And you would think with the vastness of the capacity of the brain that we would all be rich, we'd all be happy, we would all have tantalizing, succulent, juicy relationships. Our bodies would be absolutely impeccable. We would just, the earth would be looked after and nurtured. But look at it, the evidence suggests that somehow this computer between our ears is not the thing that we can trust. Because how come so many people are not full? Their hearts aren't full, which means they can't give fullness of heart to everything they do. And that's why, because we can't trust that 6 inches between our ears. It's not what we trust. And that's why we have to be, I believe, or what I attempt to do myself, is to be heart-centered, heart following the heart, as opposed to listening to the self-doubt, the apprehension, fear, and uncertainty that comes up in the mind, right? Because that is going to absolutely stop you from moving ahead. Why? Because, you know, we've got that, the part of the brain wants to keep us alive. And I've always said that the mind can't tell between an emotional death or a physical death. You know, so it's not just about keeping your life physically. It's about not taking risks emotionally. And that's why, again, I mean, I think of everyone at this event here right now, and we've got about 90% women. Typically, a lot of my students are women, which is great because they want to grow. They're committed to their own personal journey. But when I watch, you know, what happens when they step out of the world they've created in their mind and they start stepping into the possibilities of the heart and the potential of what's laying in front of them. I mean, we live in a world with 7 billion people, with hundreds of languages, with hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of varieties of food, and with millions of different types of vistas and you know, the types of animals that exist on the planet, you know, when from the oceans. And you know, I gotta tell you, you know, my last show, and I'm not sure even how it showed up, because again, we're very limited technology here, so I had to sort of download it in part, so I hope you even got it. But you know, that those last two dives I just did, you know, it almost took me back 100 years ago, where I'm under the water. And imagine that, each one of you, there's some people who've never dove. Why? Maybe it's because you've never thought to, or you think you don't like it. But when you're under the water, for me, it's one of the most relaxing states in the world. For me, I just completely calm. And you just that single breath going in and out, and then that's, I'm totally at peace. And then of course what happens is what comes to you, it's almost like you're part of the ocean. So, you know, we had a big turtle come and swim through us. We were able to just reach out and touch it, you know, and the millions, well, hundreds of thousands of fish that we saw on this last dive. So, you know, we talk about what's in the oceans and the mountaintops, the fjords and the savannas and everything around the world that's just there waiting for us. And again, because of this self-imposed prison that we put ourselves in quite often, none of that's available, none of it. And again, and we got to start small. We got to challenge the thinking small. So if we can start, because again, one of my favorite sayings, how I do anything is how I do everything. How I treat anyone is how I treat everyone is how I treat myself. If I'm really hard on myself, I'm really judgmental, I'm going to be hard and judgmental on others. And if I do, I'm going to push a lot of people away. And so my life by design is going to become much smaller. The box around myself of what's possible is going to become quite tiny. And so, again, imagine as a kick-ass life practitioner, even if you're just listening to the show for the first time, imagine that you're about to push the walls of your life out so that they are so vast that you can sense and see and smell and taste everything that's available to us, right? And as I sit here right now on this private island in Belize and I look at, oh my gosh, goodness, you know, having left school at 15, could hardly read and write, you know, been in jail and done drugs and alcohol, all the different things, all the mistakes I've made. And the only difference is that I've challenged my thinking. I challenge constantly the walls that surround me, and I push back and say, you know, what else is available? What else am I willing to step into? Because I realize that every human being like me on the planet has the same capacity, the same brain, the same everything. And so what one person can do, I know I can do. So then I start to model those around me. If I see something, I model them, you know. And I took someone diving the other day, you know, and I'm a very, very comfortable diver. I'm very relaxed. I love the water, and as soon as I get underwater, you know, it's almost like I go into slow motion, and I just am there as part of the ocean. And so I was watching this person model me perfectly. I always put my hands behind my back as I'm swimming and just totally relax, and I breathe very slowly. Normally I come up with about 1,000 PSI more than anyone else in the dive, because I just breathe so slowly, because I've trained my body to just go into the water and completely sort of like, it's almost like going back in the womb of Mother Earth. It's just so beautiful. But I looked over and I was watching this guy watching me. And then before long, the first dive, he was in his head a lot, and he was just moving around, bumping into people. And what he did was model my energy. And even underwater, I was able to have an impact on him. And he put his hands in the same place. His feet started to kick at the same speed. And before long, we're having this beautiful dive. And he came out of the water and said it was one of the most beautiful dives he's ever done, right? And that's that same thing, you know, that we have available to you, to everyone listening. And as I say, as I'm sitting here looking back on my life and thinking, well, how did I get here, you know, to this point where my dream of owning a transformational island and bringing people here and transforming lives has already occurred. It's, you know, we're at the end of our second group, and I'm pinching myself, and I'm thinking, well, how did that happen? How did, against all odds, how did it happen that I find myself in this position? And again, it's because the practice that I share with you is one that I am willing to risk every day. I'm willing to risk looking like a fool. I'm willing to risk going first. I'm willing to risk so many things. And I know this show sounds a lot like it's about me, but I don't want it to be that way. Typically, I don't talk this way. You know, it's always about other things. But I want you to get this feeling that's inside of me, this absolute peace and this surrender to the magnificence of opportunity, the surrender of the possibility of anything I want is simply at arm's length. I just simply have to connect with it. I have to know exactly what it is, and I can bring it to me. And then I have to take a massive action. And this didn't happen without any action. Tell me that. We put in a lot of effort. And after months of work, you know, I must admit, I'm looking forward to having a day off tomorrow after all these, you know, these programs I've done back to back. But, you know, absolutely full. And my boys being here, oh my goodness, to share this with my kids and watch their transformations. And my eldest son, Cal, you know, he came here as a typical 14-year-old. Not typical, that's not fair on the 14-year-olds out there. But, you know, he was edgy and, you know, a little, you know, wasn't really communicating very well with us, you know, and going through a massive growth spurt, all these different things. And I watched him, and he's terrified of the stage, by the way. This kid is terrified. He wouldn't even come up and talk to me and say hello when I was on stage and just sort of come there. He was always sort of behind the sound booth. You know, I've seen him on stage this week and last. He took the program last week. And standing up there in all of his power and watching it emerge inside of him, that to me was one of these, I mean, what a joy to be able to not only be here and to feel and live this dream, but to know that the impact this dream has had on my son already has been monumental. And my 12-year-old's taken the program this week, and watching him with these adults, I mean, there's no other kids here, watching him with these adults, I mean, doing everything they're doing and pushing themselves in the same way, and watching how magnificent he is, both are, because of this crazy dream that I had, and the fact that we're fortunate enough to come and spend the last, you know, almost 3 weeks on this little island and growing and being and experiencing and just showing up. It's been so, so beautiful, you know. So, again, I know this has been a bit of a ramble, but I think it's just that I want you to get this sense that when you get off this particular podcast, that you'll look at your life differently, and you're going to ask some really more important questions about this self-imposed prison you're in. And it doesn't matter how big it is, but what else is beyond that? What's beyond that? It's not like you can't be in love with what you are doing. I'm absolutely in love with the things I do. But it's really truly that next piece. What is that next piece? And have you really tapped into why you were born? Because I've got a real clear sense on my mission and purpose and the impact I want to have in the world. And I believe that each one of us, when we tap that, and it doesn't have to be as big as what I'm doing. You know, I know Oprah Winfrey on the last show, she talked about, you know, every single person has their own stage. And it may be, you know, that you make pies for a living, or you may be, she talked about this woman that she gave her the best facial she ever had. And she got off the table, she said to her, "How come that you are, that was the best facial I've ever had?" She said, "Because popping zits and exfoliating is my passion. And I'm just love doing it." So that urge for you to discover that thing you love to do, that brings you alive, that wakes you up early, keeps you up late, that makes you full. So when you do it, whether it's, you may fix bicycles, but still when you're fixing bicycles or popping zits or baking pies, that you realize the world around you, the one you're creating, is a self-imposed box, and that there's a key. And the key is courage. The key is courage to step out of that box and still do the things you love. Still do them. But constantly expand our own horizons and comfort zones. And whenever we hear our minds say, "Oh, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that." Challenge yourself. And typically, if there's any fear, apprehension, doubt, and uncertainty, that's when you're going to know that it's your comfort zone squeezing around you. And you've got to stop the thinking and say, "You know what? I'm going to give it a go. I'm just going to give it a go. I'll try it. Let me try it. And stay in the game long enough until you've gone through the valley of fear, through the valley of doubt, through the valley of uncertainty, and then step into and expand that box. And if you do it on a daily basis in all areas of your life, you just constantly, and it's not a yearning for more. It's being at peace with what you have. Totally at peace and in love with what you have and totally overwhelmed and grateful for everything you have. But with the same delicate hand of this gratitude is saying, and I can have more. I'm absolutely here, and I can have more. Without this, it's not this crazy yearning where you're never happy. It's being completely happy and satisfied with who you are in this moment, where you are at in your life, and asking for more, and pushing the boundaries, and every single time we see that fear in our face, when there's something we're afraid of, step into it. Just take that one step. One tiny step, and stay in long enough until when you're in that one small step, it starts to be comfortable. Stay in there long enough until it becomes comfortable, and then you'll take another step. And before long, you're going to look back over the journey of your life and all those little tiny steps, all those inches that you've inched through life. You're going to look back, and there's going to be this incredible vista of experiences and stories and people and intimacy and love and succulence and juiciness, all of those things, because you've treated your life as a reason. Part of your reason to be here is to discover it all, is to unlock your full potential in all areas. And remember that the box, by the way, typically, as I close the call out, the box is created typically by the experiences of our parents and our grandparents, and then the experience of the school or the friends we had at school. So all we are is we're mirroring all the things we've seen. That's where our prison comes from. And now we know we have the key. Do we have the courage to put it in the lock, turn that lock, and simply push those walls out a little bit at a time, every day a little bit more, every day a little bit more, every day a little bit more, and really ask more important questions. What brings me alive? What lights me up? What gives me joy? What are those moments that awaken me to such a point where my heart sings? All right. And if your heart isn't singing right now, it's because the prison or the self-imposed box that you're in is very, very small. And in the end, it's going to become boring. It doesn't matter what you do. In the end, it's going to become boring. And in the end, you're just going to put up with what you have as opposed to go after the things your heart longs for. So with that, as I sit here in this beautiful spot, overcome with joy and gratitude and love, I want to say thank you for supporting the show. I'll be back in my normal mindset when I get home. And I look forward to bringing you some beautiful guests and sharing more of the story that unfolds in this wonderful life that we can create together. I'll see you on the other side, everyone. Have a goodie.
That was kick-ass.